Says it on the...
On the sign. Speed limit, 85. I'm saying...
Wow, I didn't know that existed.
I'm saying to Frida, you got to work to get a speeding ticket here. Because I got the baby...
Man, I would too.
I got it at 95 on cruise control, and there are people that are giving me the high beams like, hey,
sure,
move the F out of the way. And my son was taking advantage of it, so, you know, he'd be... Absolutely, like, I don't know, 50 car lengths in front of us.
Right.
I can't imagine how...
81, huh?
I can't imagine how fast he'd be going. And Frida said, well, look, you're going 97. Mm-hmm. I said, well, he must be going 107.
Wow.
You know, so it was a great race getting him down there. And 81 was a much better way to go down south than 95, because you go around Charlotte rather than through Charlotte.
Right.
We got him down to the college, and the very first night we had a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a room at like a Comfort Inn or something, which is the nicest hotel in town, and they said, you have a suite. And we said, that's great, because we got an 18-year-old kid. He'll be sleeping with us for the night, and, you know, we all don't sleep in the same bed.
Right.
The suite was a regular bedroom,
mm-hmm.
and then outside that, you had a fold-out couch
mm-hmm.
and a little table and chairs.
Right.
So it was, for those standards, it was... The nicest room in town.
Yeah, I experienced the same chain, as a matter of fact, on my holiday.
And we spent the first night with Bard, who was antsy. Mm-hmm. You know, we got down there and
did you meet Red, the Red Roof Bobblehead?
I did not, Mike. I did not. Although he did tell me to tell you something.
Thank you, Red.
Hi, Red.
It's Red, the Red Roof Bobblehead.
So we get him down there, and the first day that it really got hairy was Saturday. Because Friday night, he was forced to spend the night in the room with us. We had dinner in. There was a football game on. He and I watched football. Frida Red does whatever she did or does. And Saturday morning, we got up, 9:30, rousted him, said, okay, this is it. Moving day, going to move you into your dorm. Went over there, expected it to be an all-day proposition. We got everything out of the cars, moved everything up to his room in less than 2 hours.
Good.
And he's got a nice setup. He's got like a loft bed. And of course, the computer, and they got a TV, and they got a microwave, and
your little mini refrigerator.
A little mini refrigerator. And they got the PlayStation.
Incidentally, of all the appliances in his room, from my collegiate experience, the mini refrigerator is the most important.
So we
thank you.
We spent some time with
thank
him.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for concurring.
We had to go visit Frida's cousins who live there. They're about 70.
Right.
And this is where I really saw.
They're about 70 years old.
Yeah. I saw a different side of my son. Because, well, one of them is the, I don't know, the brother or sister of a cousin of Big Frida.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, whatever. We just had to make an appearance at their house
right.
to say hello. And Bart, of course, it's about Saturday, about 3 o'clock. He's ready to get to his room and just have us the hell out of his life. And the whole way over there, he's saying, I don't want to go. How long do we have to stay? I don't want to go. But as soon as we get there and we open the door, boom, it's a different kid. It's like Eddie Haskell.
Turns on the charm.
He says, hi, it's so nice to see you. Yeah. He's like making eye contact and shaking hands, and I'm looking at Frida going, is this the same kid? Oh, and also I got this.
And you hate that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I know you do.
Yes, I do, because even though I miss him.
Because the difference is you'd walk in and shake hands and say, I don't want to be here.
No, I'm polite, but I didn't
right.
bitch the whole way over there. It was just something we had
right.
to do.
Right.
I said, okay, we got to go see mommy's cousins.
Right.
Got to go see the cousins. I got a phone call. I didn't get the phone call. My wife got a phone call from my son's girlfriend's mother,
mm-hmm.
who was crying about the fact that Bart was leaving,
mm-hmm.
saying what a great guy he was and how helpful he was.
Yes.
And my wife was telling me this. I said, what? Bart's helpful? And she said, yes. My son's girlfriend's mom said, like, when she would come home from the grocery store, Bart would insist on carrying all the groceries in.
Of course.
Now,
that's got to piss you off a little bit.
This is the same kid that, you know, when we go to the store, if he was not sleeping, he would not even get out. I mean, a lot of times he'd be sleeping. We'd leave him outside in the hot car.
Mm-hmm.
We'd say, we're home. He'd go, I'm sleeping. We'd leave him in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Then her father called.
You'd roll down the windows, though, right?
Her father, well, occasionally. Her father calls and says, what a great guy Bart is. It speaks
how helpful.
Yeah, and says, thank you for taking such great care of my daughter. And
right.
You're a great guy. And I'm saying to Frida, as we're walking out of her cousin's house, I said,
You are a great guy.
I said, you know, between this, between seeing this other side of him and the girlfriend's parents that called, where's this kid? I don't see this in our kid. All we get is the constant tone of, what? That's his tone. Like, we're wasting his time somehow. Hey, bud, what do you think? Do you want to go check out that room? I don't know. How long do you want us to stay? Whatever. What are you going to do tonight? I don't know. You know, meanwhile, he's Mr. Charm with everybody else.
Right.
So the first night, we leave him alone. We go back to the hotel room.
This is Saturday night?
Saturday night. He's out at some fraternity party or something.
Sure.
And that's the night that I lost it. I just, I mean,
I spoke to you on Saturday.
And yeah, and also great timing with this place. I just want to say.
You were down.
Great timing. We are seriously moving my kid into his room at college, which for me was a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
And I had told everybody, don't call me, you know, unless it's absolutely important. Moving the stuff into my cell phone rings, and I see it's our agent.
Right.
And it was our agent calling me. And the first thing I picked up, I said, don't call. He said,
well, yes, I know, but they canceled you in Philly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's you know, call Mike.
Right.
Please call Mike. Don't call me. So I'm you know, going through all this crap, and I just that Saturday night in the hotel room, I just sat there, and it was, and she's like, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "God, he's leaving, and I miss him." She said, "But don't worry, we're gonna have breakfast with him tomorrow morning."
Mm-hmm.
7 a.m. on Sunday morning after his being out by himself for his first night at college.
Mm-hmm.
So we got up at 6. We leave the Comfort Inn. We go over to his dormitory. I get inside. I'm on the out or the one because I don't want to wake up everybody else. It's 7 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Right.
Bart. Finally, I have to go, hey, Bart. And I hear from the other side of the door, God damn it, what? It's my wonderful son. I said, hey, it's me. What? Mom and I are ready to go.
Oh.
I said, hey, listen, if you don't want to go, I'm saying this into the door and I'm whispering, if you don't want to go, it's okay. If you're tired, it's okay. We'll go.
That's so sad.
No, I want to go. I want to go. I said, all right, I'll be standing out here. Uh-huh. So I'm standing outside this door in this hallway.
How long?
And I am not, I exaggerate, I know, I'm not this time. 10 minutes. I'm waiting for him. Finally, again, I go, hey, bud, come on. Dad, I'm getting my clothes on. I'm trying not to wake up my roommate. Finally, the door opens. There are bags under this kid's eyes. I can tell he had a night to remember. And I said to him, wow, you look rough. If you want to just go back to sleep, you can go ahead. It'll be okay with Mom and I. No, I want to go. Let's go. So that was the response. We walk down in silence. We get in the car. Frida starts with her Pollyanna stuff right away with him. Like, so what did you do last night? Did you meet any nice people? What did you do last night? And he's just not saying a word.
Yeah. Right.
We go to Waffle House because
it's there.
It's Clemson, and there's a Waffle
House.
That is the whole
seaboard, man. That's everywhere.
There's a Waffle House everywhere. So we go, and after not wanting to go and saying he wasn't hungry, he had, and you could tell that the change has already happened with his money and our money, being as we were buying.
Right.
He ordered everything on the menu. Had a gigantic. Absolutely. I was waiting for the heart attack as he's having the meal. Said maybe 5 words the entire time.
Wow.
And I was trying not to get mad and not to get bummed out.
Right.
I would say, like, so you excited about the beginning of school?
I guess.
So, Mom, and I think we might take a different way back home.
Yeah.
That's the response I'm getting from this kid.
This is about 7:30?
It lasted until about 8. We took him back to his room, you know.
To his waiting bed.
Took him back to...
where he'd be till 2 in the afternoon,
at least.
Took him back to his dorm and let him off. And it was not the emotional send-off that I had planned.
Do you think if you had to do it again, you would have gone for the send-off when he went out to his party on Saturday?
Well, here's the thing. I said to Frida that I didn't think that we should have pushed the Sunday morning thing.
Yeah.
And she said, well, He wants to. And I'll say this. Even as I was knocking on his door and he was yelling,
he said he wanted to do it.
He said he still wanted to do it, but it was like an obligation.
Right.
So he said, I love you. I said, I love you. He kissed Mom. I reached out, shook his hand, got out of the car. Dad said he's gone. And then it hits me. It's just she and I again. It's like 1981 all over. It's just she and I. And I make the colossal mistake of taking my wife's advice. She said, I heard there's an easier way to get back home than 81. You take 29. You know Route 29, the same Route 29 that turns into Arlington?
Yeah.
That's the same Route 29 that runs all the way down to North Carolina and South Carolina.
No traffic lights on that one.
She says, so let's do this. Well, okay, bingo. Bingo. As we're driving through asshole after asshole after asshole of Fred Sanford and Sons, I'm not kidding, nothing but garbage dumps everywhere.
Right.
I mean, the main business in all of these communities was running salvage operations.
That's and auto body, probably.
Yeah, right, same thing. So we're driving by, and we would just, and everywhere it was, you know, speed limit 25, mm-hmm. you know, police enforcement, speed limit 25. We had been on the road for 7 hours, and we hadn't gotten out of the Charlotte metro area yet.
Whoa.
And at one point, as we were driving through this asshole town, I said something to her, like I said, can you imagine how awful your life would be if you had to live here? And she said, don't be so negative. We have all the time in the world. And I said, this route is killing me. She said, well, now we know that we won't take 29 on the way back. Let's just relax.
And so she's already starting to feel the freedom.
She's happy, and I'm mad because of the drive. And then there was another thing, and I had to end up eating an S sandwich on this. When I was down in Clemson and all the way through North Carolina and South Carolina, everywhere you go, every time there was like a rip-off 7-Eleven, a mini-mart, whatever it is, the giant sign would say, food store. And I started laughing. I said, well, I guess that you have to dumb it down for Southerners. Hey, look, there's another food store.
Food store.
Say, I'd like some food. Where do you think we could get it? Let's go to the food store.
Food store.
So, I mean, for 700 miles.
And that made you angry, too?
Yeah, but also it made me happy because it made her mad.
Oh, it made her mad. Oh, so the animated Disney bird stopped flying around her head.
Yeah. I would say, la, hey, la, 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 la. Hey, look, food store.
Food store.
She said, I don't see what's funny about that. I said, food store. So finally we get close enough to Washington that we're starting to get the traffic and we see the signs for 66. And there's a 7-Eleven. And we stopped to get some Gatorade and some water.
You tried that Diet Pepsi Slurpee?
And as we pull up, she says, look at the sign.
I'm serious about asking you that. I mean, I know you're telling your story.
I'm not a Slurpeeite.
Okay. It's just, you know, no calories, and it's a fabulous product. Got to give them a thumb. You know, when I don't say enough good things about Southland. Got to give a thumbs up, even though I'm not a Diet Pepsi guy myself. Uh-huh. But, you know, there's not a Diet Coke Slurpee, so I just wanted to go, zang.
We pull up, and she says, well, look at that sign. And I look at the sign, and it's the same sign at every 7-Eleven in the metro area. It says, real big, 7-Eleven. And then, now on your way home tonight, you got to stop and look at the sign, because underneath it, on the red bar underneath, it says, food store. So
her point was basically everybody has.
Yeah, it was 700 miles of me giving her crap,
right,
and me saying, these people live in S. This might as well be excrement, South Carolina. Look at this. Food store. Where can I get some food? I'm going to the food store. Where can I get me a rebel flag? Food store. And so that was that. That was the drive back, and then the rest of the, you know, the rest was just, I was a mess, spending a lot of time with her, going through my empty nest thing. Yeah. Our dog, Clink, went nuts. He's now even more crazy when it rains and thunderstorms now.
Oh no!
He used to just ass all over the place, and we dealt with that. It was my wife's idea to bring the dogs with us on vacation, since we weren't going to have the boy. We'll bring the dogs with us. So we bring the dogs with us, and Colonel Clank, when we were up in Ocean City, had some bad weather like we did here, and my wife ended up giving the dog Xanax.
Which you've done before, right?
No, he has doggy downers.
Oh, so this is like people food?
Yeah, this is a prescription. And this is another great thing about my wife. When she goes out walking the dogs, when she goes out, like I said, it's an hour and a half.
Dog wasn't stiff in the morning or anything.
she just talks to people. And, you know, you're out walking a giant German shepherd and a little terrier, a little, you know, another little dog. People will say stuff like, wow, you got your hands full there or whatever. Well, mm-hmm. You know her. If it was me, I'd just say,
go away.
I'd say, yeah, I do. But she stops and talk to these idiots. So anyway, one of these guys that she's talking to, she comes home and she says, I just saw a guy out on the street who said that his German Shepherd goes crazy and he gives him a Xanax. And I said, so what, you're getting medical advice for a dog out from guys on the street that you meet on the street? So she gave the dog the Xanax when we were having a bad thunderstorm at Ocean City on Wednesday night. The dog was so loopy that as he was walking around, he was actually bumping from side to side into the hallway. But he still was alert enough that he was panting and wanting to get into bed with us. So my wife said, I'm going to lock him in the bathroom. So we put him in the bathroom. The next morning when we went in.
Daddy daycare?
Now, maybe think of you, Mike.
Yeah.
We went in the bathroom. My German Shepherd was passed out in the bathtub.
it's the coolest place.
Yeah. He had climbed into the bathtub, and he had that look where he might be dead because his tail was absolutely flat, and his tongue was hanging out of the side.
I'm flattered that you thought of me, though. You know, just the pass out thing, you know,
yeah.
Just like something I might do or what, yeah. You know, because I'm trying to think if I've ever passed out in a bathtub.
I don't know. Well,
I might have.
And so, you know. The dogs were there, and the dogs were always underfoot. And then Saturday we had Big Frida. My mother-in-law has an 80th birthday coming up very soon. She won't be able to hear me tell her happy birthday, but yeah. Happy birthday anyway. And it was a surprise party and one of those deals where we had to get her to the restaurant at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But because it was bad weather, Big Frida didn't want to get into a car and drive anywhere. Because there was a hurricane warning or a tornado warning or something.
She probably has a legitimate fear of doing that with what she's been through with your house getting wrecked and all.
Yeah, and then the skies were very ominous and dark. So as we're driving over there, my wife and my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law are concocting this incredible lie about why we have to go to Snow Hill to go to this restaurant in Snow Hill, which is 15 goddamn miles outside Ocean City. Why we have to go to this place to go to dinner. And meanwhile, Big Frida's called us a couple times and said, because she just thinks we're taking her out to dinner, she called to say, listen, I'm very concerned about the weather. Just go without me. Just have a good time and go without me. So as we're driving over there in this blinding rainstorm, the three of them are in the back happily concocting these lies. Okay, now, we're going to say that you heard about it from your friend and that you told Robin about this and that we thought it would be nice. And, you know, we're all on this diet now and it has food. And at one point, I just turned to them and I said, why didn't somebody just tell your mom, listen, we know you're afraid of the weather, it's bad weather, but it's a surprise party for you. So get into the car, and we can save ourselves all this duplicity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody wanted to do this. So we get into the car, and everybody's got their little lies that they're telling Big Frida about. You know, we heard about this restaurant from our friend that lives down the street.
So you weren't happy with the whole concept of the surprise
party. No, and Frida's saying to me, as we're driving down a road where the speed limit is 55, and it's raining real hard, and I'm going 40 already because it's about 15 minutes away, and we've left about a half hour early. She keeps saying to me, hey, slow down. Slow down. Meanwhile, in a driving rainstorm, I got cars behind me that are giving me the high beams like, hey, mm-hmm. Come on, pal. Mm-hmm. It's only rain. And I feel like one of the idiots that we talk about on the show.
Right.
Somebody who's going too slow for the conditions, mm-hmm. but I'm going slow because I have to keep this facade up of, of getting my mother-in-law to the restaurant by 8 o'clock. So finally, we pull into the general area of Snow Hill, Maryland. It's 5 until 8.
Right.
And we see the place.
Perfect timing.
Frida says, oh, you know what? That looks like a really charming area downtown with those shops. Let's go down and look past all those shops. Now, at this point, the downtown area is closed. It's 8 o'clock on a Saturday night. It's not just rain.
So she wants to time it so you arrive at the restaurant at precisely
yes.
8 p.m.
Yes. It's not just raining. It's freaking thunderstorming with mm-hmm. those big, big-ass bolts of lightning.
Right.
And I go, well, okay, well, I think the stores are closed, though, darling. We could probably go to the restaurant. After all, it's 5 till 8.
Mm-hmm.
Our reservations aren't until 8. And then at that point, I feel from the back seat this on my neck. Just, she gave me one.
A flick?
Yeah. She gave me one of
the fingernail flick, the painful fingernail flick?
She gave me one of these flicks, and I turn around and I go, what? And she gave me another. She goes, just drive. So now I'm driving through this blinding rainstorm, and I'm about to turn where my wife wants me to turn, and my mother-in-law goes, that's a one-way street. So I'm about to go the wrong way down a one-way street, and then I said,
are you tempted to, like, blow the whole surprise? Here's what I'm doing.
I said, I'm taking you guys to the restaurant now. By my watch, it's 3 minutes until 8 o'clock. And again, I get the from my wife. Because I know her concern is that because the weather's not great, all of the members of the family, some of them may not be there already. Because of the weather, but, you know, TFB.
Right.
So we pull up in front of the restaurant because, again, this is my part of the line now where I'm supposed to say, I'll leave you guys out front the restaurant so you won't get wet, and I'll park my car out back. Because they didn't want Big Frieda to see any of the cars from the other family members.
Perfect.
In the parking lot. Mm-hmm. So as we pull up at 3 till 8, I say, all right, well, I guess I will take the car around back and let you guys out. And on the way out, I got another one of these.
Oh, no.
And I said, what? And she said, that's for not going along with the plan. The plan, we're here.
Right.
It's 3 minutes until friggin' 8 o'clock. Your mother has no idea. So, this is a, hey.
And your initial plan was to...
just tell her.
To spoil the surprise.
tell me what you think of this, doctor. As my mother-in-law, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and my wife left the car, and I turned around, when I got out of earshot, all the windows were rolled up, and I seriously just went, I really did. It was just a combination. Mm-hmm. I went,
had to.
Pulled into the parking lot. Went inside. First thing I did, and of course my wife, my mother-in-law was totally surprised by it.
Right, good.
Very happy. Everybody was there. My wife came over and she gave me a little hug. And the first thing I did was I went. Just like that, right?
A flick on the neck.
Right, and she goes, hey, what's that for? I said, you did it to me in the car. She said, well, you were going to blow the surprise. I said, it's the surprise. We're at a restaurant 15 miles. There's 100 restaurants in Ocean City, but we got to go to one that's 15 miles away.
Because it was a special place.
Well, that could be debated, how special it was.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Bill O'Reilly, weekdays noon to 2 on 106.7 WJFK.
There's only one thing that Washington agrees upon this election year, and that's where to shop for a new car. Shop the Fairfax Auto Mile this week for your best buy on the remaining 2004 models. FairfaxAutoMile.com.
A question for the homeowner out there. Do you have oil heat?
Yes, I do.
And now the key question. How old is your oil furnace or boiler?
Let's see. I'd say maybe...
20 years?
I guess so.
30 years?
Hey, time flies.
Well, then it's definitely time to upgrade with modern clear burn technology.
You mean replace it? My rule is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Not this time, my friend. Just because your old equipment isn't broken, it is burning about 30% more oil than today's high-tech equipment.
30%?
Yeah, maybe more, depending on how old your equipment really is.
But that would save me hundreds of dollars a year.
At today's energy prices, count on it. And that's year after year.
Wow.
Today's oil heat, 99.9% clean, 100% warm. And with an upgrade to today's technology, a bigger bargain than ever. Just call your oil heat dealer. He knows what to do.
So it ain't broke, but...
But for your own good, you really should fix it anyway.
Okay. But I'm going to call this the exception that proves the rule. Okay?
Suit yourself.
A message from the Tri-County Better Home Heat Council.
Imagine this. You walk into a bar, you order a Budweiser. It tastes good. So you look at the born-on date. It says today's date. Perplexed, you look at a calendar on the wall and then at a date on a nearby newspaper. It all checks out. Somehow the beer you're drinking was bottled this very same day. And then you think to yourself, what's going on here? Am I in some kind of cosmic time warp? Have I slipped through some kind of barley and hops wormhole? Or are the people at Budweiser at it again?
It's the phenomenon called Day Fresh Beer from Budweiser. Beer